Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. Absolutely. And thanks for Marquita for mentioning that. Marquita said, "Brother Daryl, you recording? I don't see the recording signal." So I did start the recording, and fortunately, I'm recording a backup on my computer, so I have a backup. Well, who said that? Oh, okay, yeah, because it says Marquita, and because there's a Marquita in the class, I thought that's who it was. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, we covered. We got the recording, but thanks. Okay. So that's kind of what happens there. So we have a better covenant based on better promises. Verse 7. If the first covenant had been faultless, then there wouldn't have been a need for a second covenant. So if what God gave Moses was sufficient, there wouldn't have been any need to bring in another covenant because the first one was sufficient. So verse 8, finding fault, now note, finding fault with them. There was nothing wrong with the law. It was given for a specific purpose, and there was nothing wrong with the law. The problem was with them. They couldn't keep it. Any question on that statement? Okay. Finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And I really don't have time to explore that. But why was it important for God to say, "I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah"? Aren't they the same people? Yeah, that's where Jesus came from. Yes, that's exactly what he's referring to. You had the 10 tribes that went north, and then you had the two that made up Judah. Both of them had a prophetic destiny. This is another area where there's some confusion in the body today. There's the house of Israel and what God said he was going to do with them, and there's the house of Judah and what God was going to do with them. Both houses broke the covenant. God said, "I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Because what God said to Abraham is, "Through you and your seed, all what? Hello? Did he say nations? All families of the earth will be blessed." He didn't say only Israelites or Judaites would be saved and blessed. He said all families, Because through the seed of Abraham, God's redemptive purpose is going to open up to everybody. But he's going to use Israel and Judah as his vessel to do it. Oh my. Oh my. All right, let me keep going. Because I'm really getting ready to get myself in trouble. Okay, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's not going to be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and I led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and I regarded them not, says the Lord. This is the covenant. All right, here we go. This is the covenant that I'm going to make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'm going to do what? What does God say he's going to do? Okay. I'm going to put my law into their mind. And I'm going to write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they're going to be to me a people. So how is God going to put, where was God's law under the old covenant? Where was it? Under the old covenant. Right, but where was the law? He said in the new covenant, I'm going to write it in their mind. Where was it under the old covenant? He wrote it on tablets of stone, which could not produce life. It's stone. And what was the problem with the people's heart? As we read the old covenant, what do we constantly see the prophets saying the problem with the people are? They were what? They were hard-hearted. They had hearts of stone. God said in the new covenant, I am going to write my law in their mind and I'm going to put it in their heart. So they're going to obey me out of their mind and their heart. But note, it's internal. It's not external. So we are now obeying God out of the heart with an awareness in the mind of his presence. Versus looking at tablets of stone saying, if I don't do that, I'm going to get stoned. Is this making sense? Yes, no, maybe. We good? All right, couple more verses. Now, note verse 11. They will not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why not? Because they all going to know me, from the least to the greatest. This is the new covenant. Everyone has access to a knowledge of the Father. No one has more access than somebody else. This is the new covenant. This is really what Christianity is about. We have a personal relationship. So I don't need anybody, and you don't need anybody to go to God to get a word for you. Oh, glory. Why not? Because you have the same access that they do. This ain't like the Levitical priesthood, where only the priests can offer sacrifices and only the priests have access. And if you want to know God, you got to get some knowledge from the priest or wait for a prophet to show up. If that's not where we're living today, I don't know. Everybody waiting on a prophet to come to give them a word. Can you give me a word? Let me tell you what the Lord showed me about you. No, let me tell you what the Lord showed me about me. Now, that doesn't mean that the Father doesn't use ministry. He does. But it's not under that order. It's under a different order. I hope this is helping somebody, because it's blessing me. It's my conviction, folks. If we could understand this, we could put ministry in its proper perspective. And then we can respond to ministry based off of what ministry is really placed in the body to do. And then we also won't have so many burnt out people in ministry trying to be all things to all people. Pastor, I really need to pray, and I really need you pray. Go pray. Yeah, like the pastor's a specialist. If you need it, yes. It is. Yep. Right. Yep. Right. That's right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, because people are trying to make the ministry in the mode of the Levitical priesthood. That's why, you know, I used to have members of my church say, well, that's what we pay you for. Excuse me? That's what you pay me for. So you have the leadership in the church who really can't function on building the body because they're doing everything that the people should be doing. Isn't that a pastor's job to make, you know, to make a church grow? It's the pastor's job to grow the believer so that the believer can be ministering to people outside the church. You see how we got this all turned around? Because we don't understand the order of our priesthood. All right. Let me get off of that. Okay, they all gonna know me. Now, does that sound to you that we all have access to know the Father? Does it sound like that to you? All right, now let me ask you a question. Do you have any, like, brothers? No, let's take it a different way. Do you have any cousins? Well, some of y'all might, but I'm using it tongue in cheek. Who know your parents better than you do? Or think they do? Because that's rampant in the body of Christ. Everybody know that everybody think they know God better than everybody else. But see, only I know how the Father deals with me. Only you know how the Father deals with you. That's why I can't monitor your relationship. That's why I refuse to let people put me into bondage. Say, well, what you should be doing. What do you mean what I should be doing? How do you know what I should be doing? God ain't said nothing about that to me. Right. See, that's where we get into all of that. All of this stuff about covering. You got to have a spiritual father. You got to have a spiritual mother. I thought Jesus was the head of the body. I thought Jesus was my covering. Now, I have ministry that I'm in relationship with that can speak into my life, that can give me wisdom, that can give me guidance. Yes. But they're not monitoring my relationship with the Father. Does this make sense? There's accountability, yes. But this stuff is off the chain nowadays. Everybody got to have a spiritual mother. Everybody got to have a spiritual father. Everybody got to have a personal prophet. Y'all know that they're church organizations that will tell you it ain't God's will for you to marry certain people. And generally, if the person has bucked the leadership in the church, God definitely ain't told you to marry them. Let me keep going. This is helping somebody. So, God said, listen, I'm going to be merciful to their unrighteousness. Huh? I'm going to be merciful to their unrighteousness. How many of y'all know God did not tolerate unrighteousness in the first covenant? He did what? He needed to go outside the camp for 7 days. He needs to offer this, that, then come back to the priest, let the priest examine him, and then if he gets the clear go signal from the priest, then he can come back into camp. They did not play. God said, you know what? I'm going to be merciful to their unrighteousness. Again, this is not a license to go out and live crazy. This is not what this is. So now I'll be merciful. And then I'm going to be merciful to their unrighteousness and to their sin. And their iniquity. Does anyone know the difference between sin and iniquity? Let's take a stab at it. Because God said, I'm going to be merciful to their sin and their iniquity. Because remember, Jeremiah said, I was born in sin, but I was shaped in iniquity. Yes. Yes. All have sinned and come short. Yeah. It's very good. Very good definitions. Everybody understand what she said? Okay. It'll be on the tape if yeah. Yeah, iniquity can just be it's a consistent pattern But I mean, just listen to the word iniquity. I mean, it's a consistent pattern, but it implies an inability to do anything other than. It's just iniquity. I was born in sin, but I was shaped in iniquity. That's double trouble. Yes. 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 Yeah. And then out of that causes the act of sin. So mankind has a problem, which is why the only way this can get resolved is he must be what? Born again. So the way out is to be born again, because you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now, let me ask you a question. When you were born, came forth, were you shaped before you were born? You were shaped for 9 months before you were born. You were born in sin, but you were shaped in iniquity, which is why you can't do anything other than sin. Because you were shaped in iniquity. So God's got to deal with the internal. Ain't no law or no stone can do nothing about this. You got to be recreated. Your thinking is all jacked up. Your mind is messed up. Your mind screwed up. You can't think right. You can't. Why? Because you was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's not because the devil got a stronghold in your mind. It's because you got thinking until you get your mind renewed. You got to wash out the junk. I'm talking about all of us. And God said, I'm going to put my law. I'm going to write it in their heart. Jeremiah phrased it a different way in Jeremiah, I think it's 23, somewhere around in there, where God said, a new heart also will I give them, and I'm going to put a right spirit in them. This is all new covenant. This is new creation stuff. This is not behavior modification to make us better people. I'm sorry. So in that he says, now watch, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We actually got through a whole chapter. That's the new covenant. Better covenant, better promises, better high priest, better sacrifices, a new mind, a new heart, a new kind of relationship with the Father. This is all new covenant. This is not Christianity as we know it. Because Christianity as we know it many times replicates old covenant thinking and behavior. So you really want to get plugged in to a local church? Get busy and start doing something. I was praying, and God showed me, you supposed to work with the kids ministry. God, I showed you that. You don't have anybody to work with the children's ministry. So instead of trying to make everybody to join the church, the children's pastor, why don't you help people discover what their gifts are? And then you may discover that there's someone there that's really what their passion is. And then they'll do it. But they're doing it out of a hard service. They're not doing it because they feel obligated and put on a guilt trip every time they show up at church. Y'all know how many people don't go to church because they're tired of the guilt trips? Can't get nobody to do nothing in the church. No, because they burnt out. We got new members. Let's find something for them to do. Wait a minute. Hold the phone here. Let them get their bearings. Families break up. Wife joined the church and ain't never home. Got women's meeting on Wednesday. Got something else on Tuesday. Bible study on Wednesday. Choir on Thursday. Friday, we got to get ready to, you know, do all the stuff in the church to get ready for Sunday. Saturday, we got to come in and clean. Sunday, husband be like, you ain't never home. Conferences, it's just work. Right. He home. He home chilling. Pull up to church, get hollered at in the parking lot. You can't park there. Why not? That's pastor's wife's parking place. Well, can't she park over there? I mean, folks, this stuff is crazy. I'm serious. This stuff is crazy. And then we wonder why people, I'm talking about believers now. I'm talking about church folk. Why church folks are so frustrated. It's because they're getting worked to death in church. Then the pastor would get real and said, then he going to come in. He got a word from God. He got a word from God. He going to put the whole church on blast because he can't get nobody to do nothing. It's your duty. That ain't healthy. Okay, what questions do we have? Good to see you, Val. We have any questions over anything? Do I need to clarify anything? It gets better next week. Matter of fact, what are we going over next week? Where are we at? I mean, where are we? Hebrews 9. Oh, well, we covered a little bit of it. We covered all of that. Oh, we're going to talk about... Oh, next week we're going to actually go in and talk about the tabernacle. Give y'all some understanding about some of that. Y'all remember the showbread? There's a reason God told Moses, take a omer of that showbread and lay it up in the tabernacle, along with the tablets and Aaron's rod that buds. We're going to look at the types and shadows of that, because all of this applies to us as new covenant believers. Okay, so we don't have any questions on anything? No comments? Everybody's able to access the audios and all that good stuff, right? Okay. Now, don't worry about the audio, because though I started it late in the class, I have a copy that I recorded on my computer. But the copy on my computer won't have some of the conversation from the class. So I'll upload both. And then y'all can, because there was some good stuff that y'all chimed in and shared. Okay, if all minds are clear, yes. Oh, I don't know. I'm open for suggestions, though. So if anything comes up that you all would like to, you know, do as a class, or you have some interest in, just email it. You know, just email it. You know, I try to remain open on where I'm going with classes. So, okay, well, having said that, who'd like to pray us out? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just come together and listen to your word and to learn more about the relationship that we have with you, the power of your covenant. And Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you've given all of us, that we have access to a greater understanding and awareness of your presence in our lives. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you for all of the grace and the mercy that you've extended toward us and will continue to extend toward us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so we are dismissed. I'll hang out for a minute or two after class in case somebody has anything, and then we'll go from there. I'll talk with you all later. Peace and blessings. Yes.